We've been talking about a simple Christmas, and today we're going to continue that with a simple peace. So if you do need a handout and you didn't get one when you walked in, raise your hand. Ushers will take care of you real quick. So if you want to follow along and fill in the blanks, remember there's an extra reward in heaven for those who do follow along and fill in the blanks. That's in the Bible. If you haven't read it, it's because you didn't read your whole Bible, are you? I'm a preacher. You can trust me. So we started talking about a simple hope that Jesus is the hope of the world. And we followed that up with a simple love and the simple love that God shows us. My dad preached an awesome message on a simple joy that was powerful. And today, again, we're following up with a simple peace. Now, before we get into the message this morning, I want to tell you a quick little context story, and then we'll show you something kind of interesting. So in 2007, my father and mother, of course, were pastoring. They used to host a weekly Christian television broadcast called Celebration that was hosted at the studios in Ashland, Kentucky, Daystar Studios, and it was a live broadcast. So every week for 30 minutes, some of you remember this back in the day, this is 12, 13 years ago, but some of you remember this. So back in the day, they would host every week, sometimes a couple times a week. And my dad's always been amazing in front of a camera. He just has. He's gifted for that, clearly. But they had the great idea that we should have a special family Christmas episode. And so for this family Christmas episode, at the time, my wife and I, we had Jaden and Ava. Of course, Jaden and Ava were 3 and 1. And my sister and my brother-in-law, they only had one at that time. Now they have like 13 or 14, I lost count, but they had one. Cademan, and he was also just a little over 1 year old. And they thought, this would be a great episode. Remember, live. There's no post-editing. There's no going back and fixing something. What happens, happens. And what happened, happened. And so here are some highlights of this from 2007. Enjoy.
So we're just praying for you today that you're going to be blessed. We're going to have a great time. We don't know what's going to happen in the next 30 minutes. We're just going to have a good time fellowshipping, sharing. We have our children and their families are with us today. And we're just going to just have a big time. As you can see, they just saw themselves. And so as you saw them, amen, amen. Thank you, Mark. It is a great way to save the world. And here I am with my grandsons. And we're celebrating Christmas today because Jesus, Lord, you know, that's what it's all about. God didn't come to this earth in the form of His Son as to set up a bunch of rules and regulations. He came to build a family. The Bible says in Ephesians 3 that we're to give thanks unto the Father, God who is the Father of the whole family in heaven and in earth. And a lot of people here on our crowd, we're laughing, having a big time, and because the kids are just being kids. Amen. And this is what Christmas is about. Hey, y'all need to let your kids be kids today. Gang, say something. Huh? How about Kate?
Now he's
Kate?
Shy.
Oh, you got a shower mouth. Hey, Kate, do you want to say Merry Christmas?
Yeah, Wiggles.
Wiggles. Oh, you want to say Wiggles. Okay. Say, me and you, ready? Me, you, and Jade, we're going to say Merry Christmas on three. Ready? One.
Two.
Three.
Merry Christmas!
Amen. Now, Jaden and you and Kate are getting toys. You get toys for Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you get, yeah, you too. Getting toys and what else?
Venom.
Spider-Man
character. Spider-Man.
I know who's the mean guy. Venom is.
Venom's the mean guy? Okay, we'll cast the devil out of him, won't we?
What's Kate going to get for Christmas? A big Buzz Lightyear.
Big Buzz Lightyear. You like Buzz Lightyear?
For Christmas. Sing.
Okay. Praise God. You know, Bonnie, we're excited today because, you know, you and I have enjoyed 32 years of marriage.
Yes.
And we watched our children grow, and now, as you can see, we have grandchildren that are really whatever.
I'm just overwhelmed with all this.
Twenty-eight and a half minutes of that. Seriously, 28 and a half minutes of that. He's giving an altar call. He's sharing about the love of Jesus Christ. And you can see our kids' heads bouncing all around the stage. You know what's crazy? We watched this the other night and just laughed and had a good time. But we were admiring my dad and his ability to keep his composure. Live TV, y'all. That was some hardcore. Listen, he was amazing at that. Just, I thought it was fun. Christmas can be a lot like that, right? Just a lot of chaos. It can be fun, but sometimes it can be crazy. I'm gonna give you a quick pop quiz. Tell me what you think the answer is, real quick. Three things that you can find in common with Mary, with Joseph, and the shepherds. And go. Three things. What do you think? You could probably name a lot of things. Three things that are in common with all three of them. Well, there's that. I'll give you the answer because y'all are terrified that you're going to answer wrong. Each one of them had to be told by an angel, do not be afraid. Every single one of them had to be told at some point, do not be afraid. I've always found that interesting. So we understand that life at times can be filled with chaos. Life at times can be filled with fears. Life at times can be filled with unpredictability and uncertainty, all kinds of different things that we're going to deal with. And the Bible tells us that Mary, when she was told that she was going to have give birth and it was going to be a miraculous virgin birth and he was going to be the savior of the world, she had fear. I think that's a natural response to something like that. That's some big news to hear. I mean, if you heard that today, you should be afraid. That's a big deal. Joseph was also told the same thing. Listen, you're gonna have to love her, and you're gonna have to be there for her. You're gonna have to guide, and he was told, "Don't be afraid." The shepherds were out in the field, and the angel stopped them and said, "Listen, don't be afraid. But there's some good news that we're about to share with you." And they were terrified, though. I'll read you from Luke 2 the exact example, and the Bible says this: an angel showed up, and the shepherds were terrified, and the angel said, "Don't be afraid. We bring you good news. There's no reason to be afraid. This is good news." And a great company of heavenly hosts appeared, with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace on earth." And then what? Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Peace on earth. And so the response to the shepherds and the response to the fear was an announcement of, guess who's coming? Jesus. And guess what he's bringing? Peace. He's bringing peace. So don't be afraid, because Jesus brings us a simple peace during a simple Christmas. Get your Bibles out. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We're going to talk about this simple piece this morning. We're going to read through a selection of scriptures. And while you're in chapter 14, give you a little context. So Jesus is taking some time here in chapter 14. What's occurring is he's making sure his disciples are fully aware of what's about to happen. Jesus was never the kind of guy who hid things necessarily from you. He wanted you to be aware. And so he's letting them know, hey, listen, you're going to be a part of this kingdom that I'm establishing. It's not like any other kingdom. And yes, I'm going to be taken. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be wrongly accused. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to give my life, but also I'm going to raise from the dead. And there's going to be some interesting things come out of this. When I raise from the dead, I'm establishing a brand new kingdom. I've given you all the keys and all the authority that you need. I'm giving you victory. Everything you need, I'm giving you through this. But yet, you need to be fully aware. In fact, you guys are going to have to deal with some stuff once all this happens. It's not going to all be easy. And so Peter, the Apostle Peter, steps up and immediately says, "No way, Jesus. I'm with you, man. There's no way that I'm going to back out on you. There's no way that I'm going to run with you. If you do all this, you go through all this, you can count on me." And then Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times." And Peter's like, "What?" Peter says, "That's not going to happen." That's in chapter 13. I'm going to read it. You don't need to turn there. Jesus says to Peter, Peter says, "I will lay my life down for you." And then Jesus responds with, "I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you'll disown me three times." And so in the midst of this becoming aware of all that's about to take place and all that Jesus is about to go through and letting his disciples know what they're about to confront and what they're going to go through and all this uncertainty, Jesus introduces us this simple peace. Chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. "And do not let your hearts be troubled." Jesus says, "Trust in God, trust also in me, because in my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you will also be where I am." Now, I want to stop right there, and I want you to think about this. Now, this is what I'm about to share isn't necessarily in Scripture, but I can imagine that this is something that took place. Jesus, growing up, it's very likely that he was told the story of how he was born. It's very likely that it was reoccurring every year. They reminded Jesus, hey, let's talk about the time. Remember when you were born, there was no room at the end. There was no place for you. We had to give birth to you, and you were basically in a manger in a cave, so to speak. And I can imagine Jesus growing up, hearing this story over and over and over again, how when he was born, he had no home, he had no place, he had nowhere to live, he had no security, nothing. He was born in a barn, in a manger. And the very first opportunity Jesus has now to share the kingdom of God, what does he share with everyone? He makes sure to emphasize that in my Father's house, there are many, many rooms. So Jesus, who was born without a room, who was born without a home, was born without a place to stay, make sure to let everybody else know that if you are in the kingdom of God, if you are following Jesus, if you are a child of Almighty God, there's always room for you. There's never a moment where you'll be left alone. There's never a moment where you'll be kicked out. There's never a moment where the answer will be, I'm sorry, there's no room for you here, because in my Father's house, and he emphasizes this, in my Father's house, there's plenty of room for you. And he's establishing the heart of Almighty God, of our Father, right away, establishing the heart and the love. Don't worry. Be at peace. There's room for you here. He continues to talk about what's coming. I'm going to skip to chapter 16, verse 20 here. He says this, we'll put it on the screen. I'll tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. In other words, yes, I'm really going to give my life. What I'm telling you is going to actually happen. I'm going to be taken away, and it's going to get hard, and it's going to get difficult, and it's going to get ugly. But ultimately, trust me, it'll turn out for the good. Verse 33 in the same chapter. And I've told you these things so that in me you may have what? In me you may have what? Peace. There it is again, because in this world you're going to have trouble. And he says, you need to know this. You need to know this, that God is offering his peace, not a trouble-free life. He says, I'm offering you my peace. I'm not giving you a trouble-free life. And he's saying, I need you to know the difference between a trouble-free life and a peace-filled life. And he's establishing that right on the top. Know the difference, because many of us are expecting a trouble-free life, and that's not something God promised. And when you don't get it from God and you get upset at God, God's saying, what are you blaming me for? I told you what I would do. You're not accessing the peace. You're just focusing on the trouble. That's another message. He offered a peace-filled life. In this world you have trouble. Take heart. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Now let's jump right back to chapter 14 where we left off. Because this is worth reading. We need to absorb and just allow this word to soak in. Verse 25, he says, in all this I have spoken while still with you, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and he's going to remind you of everything that I have said to you. Verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. It's not the kind of peace that the world gives. I don't give the same kind of peace the world gives. So don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. So he says right off the top, yes, this life has uncertainty. Yes, this life has chaos. Yes, there's anxiety. And yes, there will be moments where you aren't sure of what's taking place and you're not sure how it's going to work out. But he's saying you don't have to live anxious. He's saying you don't have to live in a way where that worry and that anxiety undoes you and takes you out and holds you down. He's saying in my kingdom there is a peace, another way to live. And then Jesus offers that simple peace to every one of his followers, every one of his believers. Get your notes out. This is where you get to earn that reward in heaven. Let's talk about what simple peace does. Of course, we've been talking about a simple Christmas, and if you remember, going back to week one, I'll let you know that God simple is significant in a sense that it's significant in that it changes everything about you. When you really learn to follow God his way, it's so significant, it's life-altering, it's life-changing. There's nothing that compares to it. But because it's so life-changing, God simple is also hard. In other words, there are some things you've got to confront, you've got to deal with, you've got to be honest. You can't just pretend to be a follower of Christ. You either are or you're not. And so this is hard. This isn't easy. But when you do it, it's radical. It's countercultural. It causes you to stand out. It causes you to be a light in a dark world. And people see and notice that difference. And when everybody else is fussing and complaining and panicking, you have peace. And so those are the three things that we use to define God simple. Now we're going to talk about a simple peace and a simple definition for the simple peace. So in your notes, write this down. And this is my working definition for a simple peace for today's message. And we'll put it on the screen. God's simple peace fully aware and fearless. Write that down. God's simple peace is fully aware and fearless. Fully aware and fearless. Think about this. So what Jesus said to his disciples is dealing with a fully aware thing. He's making sure that his disciples are fully aware. What he's saying is this. When I talk about fully aware, I don't want any head in the sand Christians. I don't want ignorant Christians. He wants you to know the facts. I mean, he didn't pull punches from Mary when he told Mary the truth of what was about to take place in her life, did he? He said, here's what's going to happen. You need to follow my command. You need to obey me. If you obey me, you'll be blessed. Everything will work out. He's telling his disciples the same thing. He's letting them know there's going to be trouble, guys. Prepare yourselves. Prepare your hearts. I want you fully aware. I want you to know the facts. And so a believer doesn't pretend that the facts don't exist. That is not faith. A lot of times we confuse the two. We think that faith just simply ignores the facts and pretends that it's not the truth. No, listen, I know some of us have gotten some ugly, nasty reports. I get it. I have too. And he says, I want you to know the facts. And the problem with knowing the facts is that a lot of times when you really know the facts, it leads to uncertainty. And the uncertainty is where a lot of us struggle. That's where we get the hang up. That's where we get the stress. And that's where a lot of us, we tend to remove ourselves out of the process. It eliminates us because it defeats us, the uncertainty. We like to know what's going to happen in our life. We like to be certain of specific things. I want to know that I'm going to be healthy. I want to know that I'm going to get my bills paid. I want to know that my kids are going to grow up perfect. I want to know that everything's going to work out in this world for me. I want certainty. So Pastor Josh, how is it that I can be fully aware, know the facts, but have all this uncertainty? How can I have uncertainty and be fearless? Because not only do we know the facts, we know the Father. We know the Father. And because we know the Father, and because we have the Word of God, our Heavenly Father is very certain. He's very certain of who he is. He's very certain of his plan for your life. He's very certain that his word is true. He's very certain that the Holy Spirit is present. He's very certain that Jesus is alive, and that life, if you have Jesus, is on the inside of you. And so even when you're fully aware, you know the facts and there's uncertainty because the facts don't line up. If you know the Father, you can be fully aware and fearless. And there's where the simple peace of God begins to kick in, fully aware and fearless. This isn't that ignorance is bliss. This isn't that head in the sand Christianity. No, he's saying, listen, I'm okay that you know the facts. I'm okay that you pay attention to the times and the seasons. I want you to know what's going on in the markets, and I want you to know what's going on in the news, and I want you to be aware, because how else can you specifically pray for those things if you're ignorant to them? If you pretend they don't exist and act like as if they're not going to affect you, of course they will. He says, I want you fully aware and fearless. And so this right here, this fully aware and fearless, is both significant and hard and radical. Follows along what we've been talking about. So if we're going to live with this kind of peace that covers our whole life, when you trust God, you get this gift of simple peace, and it covers all three parts of your life. And we're going to cover all three briefly this morning. We're going to start with this. In your notes, write this down. The first level that the peace of God covers is peace with your past. Peace with your what? Peace with your past. So the Apostle Peter was committed to Jesus. one of his trusted closest disciples, one of his trusted closest followers. But Peter blew it. I mean, he made a huge mistake, a massive issue, massive problem, messed up, made a fool of himself. And so he says, no, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow you. Jesus is speaking out to him. And Jesus says, no, there's going to come a moment where you are going to deny me. And Peter says, absolutely not. And so here's what happens. Jesus, facing his accusers, going through trial, going through the process, leads him to the cross. And Peter catches himself sitting by a fire with a group of people. And all of a sudden, someone recognizes him. Peter, I think I've seen you. Have you been with Jesus? No, I've not been with Jesus. There's one. No, you have. No, I've never been with Jesus. You're mistaken. There's two. No, haven't you been with Jesus? Aren't you one of his followers? I don't even know the man. Three, rooster crows. Peter, devastated. Devastated. How many of you have blown it before to the point where you feel devastated? How many of you had said something in a conversation, in the heat of a moment, in an argument, And you think, why did I do that? You get home and you calm down and you're laying in bed and you think to yourself, why did I do that? How many of you have actually gone to the level where you have hated yourself because of something that's happened? I know I have. We've all been there. We've all gone through something difficult like that. Made a fool of ourselves. Ever made a huge mistake? Ever sinned? We've all been there. We've all gone through that. And this is what Peter's dealing with. I mean, that feeling that goes on the inside of you in the heat of that moment, gosh, it's so difficult. I've thought to myself, man, what an idiot. Why don't I have more control than that? Why am I not more composed than that? I mean, we've all messed up in our lives. And you got to see in this story that Jesus, of course, he rises from the dead, which, of course, that's a whole nother message. And that's a great conversation. I mean, that's a pretty good day when you rise from the dead, don't you think? I mean, what did you do today? Well, I didn't rise from the dead. Yeah, so Jesus got you beat there. So Jesus raises from the dead. And you know, one of the first things he wants to do with Peter is he wants to restore him. I mean, right away, he rises from the dead, and one of the first things he wants to do, read it in John chapter 21, he rises from the dead, and he wants to restore Peter back to peace, because that's who Jesus is. That's why he came to this world, to establish his peace. That is the story of Christmas. Merry Christmas! You can have the peace of God even when you've blown it and messed up like Peter did. And so in John chapter 21, what I think is awesome about this is that three times Jesus responds to Peter. So they're out fishing. Peter's just back to fishing, doing what he knew. Instead of, you know, serving the Lord the way he had been serving him, he goes back to his default. He was a fisherman before, so he's going to go back to the fish. So Jesus, they're out there. Back in that day, they would fish at night because the fish would be extra fresh in the morning. So a lot of times they'd fish. They're sitting around the fire and they're fishing. And Jesus looks at Peter, and you know that three times he asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter, do you love me? Peter responded, "Yes, Lord. Feed my sheep." "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord." "Peter, do you love?" Three times Peter denied Jesus. Three times Jesus heard out of his mouth, reestablishing that he loved Jesus. And then after that third time, he looks at Peter and he says, "Then listen, you feed my sheep." In other words, I am releasing you to get back to your real calling. You're not supposed to be out here fishing for fish, Peter. You're supposed to be out here fishing for people. You're supposed to be living for me. Fully aware of the mistake, fully aware of the problem, fully aware of the sin, fully aware of denying Jesus, and yet fearless. The peace of God hits the Apostle Peter, and so I want you to write this down. What happens then? Jesus is telling Peter, "I want you to rise up. Rise up with me. I'm resurrected." And risk. Write it down. Rise up and risk. Got to get a hold of this, because Peter had the same tendency that a lot of us do. We mess up. We screw up. We figure it's over. I can't rise up. I can't do this anymore. I'm disqualified. I'm incapable, and they're not going to let me do it because what I did was so bad. And Jesus shows up here and he says, "Listen, you're not disqualified. If it's in the past, I'm putting peace on your past so that you can be forgiven. We're not denying what you did, and we're not denying what you went through. We're not denying what happened. But yet I'm placing my peace on it so that now you can take that risk and live fearless for me. You're not disqualified just because you have a past." Peter, I want you to rise up. I want you to be back to restoration, making a difference for your life, living larger, doing more than just fishing for fish. That's a great thing, but anybody can do that. It takes a special calling to step into what I called you to do. It takes my anointing. It takes my peace. And so, Peter, step into what I've called you to do. And so what that meant for Peter is this, and what it means for us is this, that once we've blown it, and you make that decision in your heart, well, I can't be used again, or I can't do what I've done before, and I can't make a difference. Here's what happens. Fear tends to step in and hold you almost frozen. Just keep you stuck in your sin and in your past and thinking that I can't be who I've called to be. So there's an interesting story I'll tell you real quick. So in 1976, three men got together and had a brilliant plan to launch a brand new company. Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, and there was a third guy named Ronald Wayne. Maybe you know this story. And so they gathered together in Ronald Wayne's apartment and were going to sign some paperwork, and they really wanted to establish a partnership to launch this new app company called Apple. And so they broke it down to basically 45% would go to Steve Jobs, 45% would go to Steve Wozniak, and 10% to Wayne, who was very helpful, and they wanted him to be rewarded and really just honor him for the work, and they wanted him to profit for this. So a little bit of time passes after signing this paperwork, just a little brief time, and all of a sudden, Ronald Wayne gets cold feet. He starts thinking about all the failures of previous businesses. He starts thinking about missed opportunities and what didn't work out in his past and what didn't work out when he invested and took those risks. And so he contacted the two Steves and he said, listen, guys, I'm pulling out. I can't do this. I refuse, because Steve Jobs is starting to borrow money and he's starting to invest and he's starting to do different things. And it made him super nervous. And he said, I want out of this. I don't want to be a part of this. And so they said, okay. So they came together. They met together. They 11 days after signing that initial paperwork, they drew up a new amendment and basically dissolved the partnership, and this is what Ronald Wayne got for his stake. It noted on this document that for 10% of the company, he received $800 up front, and that's not all. Shortly afterwards, he would receive another $1,500. Had he stayed on as a partner with Apple with just his 10% share, at the end of 2010, it would have been worth $2.6 billion. The uncertainty cost him, didn't it? Now, it may not cost you $2.6 billion. Jeez. But it's cost us something, that uncertainty has. So Jesus is saying to Peter, if you will rise up and risk again, and just take this kingdom, you will be kingdom rich. You may not be a billionaire, but you'll be kingdom rich. In other words, I'm going to use you to make such a difference in this world for the body of Christ, for the kingdom of God. You'll be kingdom rich. It'll be so powerful what God does through you, that peace will be so powerful. Peace in your past through the forgiveness of sin, it's so significant that it allows you to rise up and to make a difference again. And see, I know people that because of their past, they've withdrew. They were spiritual leaders in the home, and lately they haven't been because of something they did wrong, or something they had said wrong, or something they shouldn't have done. And so they withdrew, and instead of stepping up, rising up, and risking again, and being that spiritual leader, they've withdrew. And it's time for you to accept the peace of God on your past, rise up, and lead again. Rise up and risk. Take that risk. Step out in faith. Trust God again. Lead spiritually. I know parents who have withdrawn because of their kids and different things going on. Listen, your past does not disqualify you if you have found peace with God. If you found peace with God, it does not disqualify you. So God is saying, listen, you step up and be an example and let my peace help you. You show everyone what it's like to have a life that is restored and fixed, and something that was, even though you're fully aware of your mess up, still live fearless with the peace of God. The peace of your past, the second thing it leads to is peace for our future. It's peace for our future. Because when God gives you His peace, it doesn't just cover your past, it also covers your future, and He grants that peace for our future. So one of my favorite times of the season is right now because it's college basketball season. Love it! Love it so much! My wife is so sad when college basketball season starts, because I am crazy and I'm obsessed. And right now you've got bowl season, NFL season, NBA, college. I mean, I'm starting to sing it's the most wonderful time of the year when this season hits, let alone Christmas. So I love it. One of my favorite things to do is to DVR. I do not, listen, y'all know me, I'm a big Duke Blue Devil fan, and I do not miss a game. If I can't watch it live, I DVR it. And I DVR the entire season, even if I watch it live. That's how much I love it. So I will often, if it's a good game, rewatch it. I'll rewatch it sometimes two or three times if it's a great play. And so a few times I'll be watching a DVR'd basketball game. I already know what's going to happen. I already know the result. I already know the great plays. But my son will walk down and he doesn't know that it's not live. And he'll go, "Oh, Dad, what's going on?" I'm like, "Yeah, Duke's down by one." "Oh, man." And he'll get intense about it. He'll sit down and he'll be like, "Oh, my God, he just turned it over. What is he doing?" I'm like, "I don't know." I'm real calm about everything. And he's starting to get worked up for a moment. And he'll stand up and, "Oh, he dunked it, yeah." And he'll high five. I'm like, "Yeah, man. How are you so calm?" I don't tell him. I mean, I'm that chill. "No, it's not true. I've already DVR'd it. I've already watched it. I already know what's going to happen. I've seen the end result." And so whenever you have peace in your future, here's what you've got to understand. The simple peace of God kicks in. Here's why you have peace for your future, because God's already seen it. He's DVR'd your whole life. And he already knows the end result. He already knows that he's good. He already knows that even though you're going to be tempted, even though there will be trouble, he's promised that there won't be a temptation that you go through that he hasn't already made a way of escape. He's already determined that he is good and his goodness is on your life, that he has a plan for your life that includes his goodness kicking in and making sure that even though you go through something tough, even though you go through something difficult, all things work for the good of those who love and trust him. He's already seen it. And so you have a peace for your future. Do I know what's going to happen? No, I don't. I'm going to use blue because I was talking about the Blue Devils. No, but with my Father, I get that certainty. With my Father, I get that certainty. It kicks in, so I have peace. And so the command for us through the peace for our future is to rise up and relax. Rise up and relax, or rise up and rest. If there's any group that should have the rest of God in our lives right here, right now, it's this group. It's this group. You should have the rest of God, the relax of God, the peace of God that allows you to stay calm in a world that is chaotic and panicked. Worried about their future, worried about elections, worried about finances, worried about taxes, worried about... Not me. Am I head in the sand? I don't want to know. No, I'm very aware, fully aware. But I'm fully aware in what? Fearless, because of the simple peace of God. Question is, do you live with the peace like that? Do you live your life with the peace of God like that? Peace in your past? Peace for your future. But that also leads to the third and final one, peace in your present. Peace in your present. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, look at this scripture. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Where is the Lord? Near. He's here. The Lord is near. So that tells me something. If the Lord is near and you don't feel close to God right here, right now, who moved? Who moved? He's near. He's near here. He's near now. He's close. There's never a point when you are following Jesus where you shouldn't have a peace in your present, knowing that at this moment, right here, right now, first of all, my past is covered, my future is covered, and because he's near, my present is covered. Because of the peace of Almighty God, fully aware and fearless. He continues, verse 6 and 7, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So you get to pray in the peace of God. The Bible says the word of God, the peace of God, which transcends, literally surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. I've watched this my entire life lived out, and this has marked me. You know, there's been a lot of us have gone through many different seasons in life where we go through, and you don't have to go into detail about it, but we think, why bother? Well, what am I doing? because things have gotten chaotic or there have been problems and there have been stresses, and all of a sudden the fear starts to creep back in. The chaos starts to creep back in. The old habits start to creep back in. The old emotional issues you thought you had beat up and defeated and had victory over start to creep back in. And all of a sudden now you're dealing with it, something that you'd already dealt with. And what happens? That uncertainty starts to kick in. And anytime I've gone through a season like that, it's God has always spoken that verse right back to my life, and He's always reminded me, Josh, it's your prayers and my peace. Your prayers and my peace. With prayer, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and then the peace of God that overcomes, that passes all understanding, transcends anything that makes any kind of sense, will guard your hearts and mind. So rejoice, fully aware and fearless, the peace of God in my past, in my future, and in my present. God's simple peace.